Let's get into it. Father, I just thank you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I just thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for Joel, Father, with the ministry that he has, Lord, with that music, Lord. That he's just a passionate person in worship and praise, Lord, towards you. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for that we are a body, that we are a people who come together and build your kingdom. It's not about a one-man operation, Jesus. So I thank you for that beautiful worship tonight, Lord, that it opens my spirit up to connect with you, that I can hear from you. And I thank you tonight for the Holy Ghost, Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. And I say, Spirit of God, I know that I can do nothing without you because you are the great teacher. I know that I heard tonight Rabboni, the teacher, but you are the teacher, Lord. And I know that you need the vessels to do it, but I acknowledge you, the teacher, Holy Spirit. Amen. You, the teacher, arise in me tonight and let the words become revelation and wisdom and understanding and bring a transformation by revelation in the name of Jesus. So I give you the praise before in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, lesson five, new creation realities. Revision from last week, lesson five. We talked about last week about the soulish areas of the total man. Remember, man is a spirit created in the likeness and image of God. He lives in the body. So this thing, this body here, is just a tent that you live in. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body and he has a soul. And he's supposed to possess his soul. Your soul is different from your spirit, right? Created in the likeness and image of God, God's a spirit. You have a soul, and your soul is made up of your intellect, your emotions, and your mind, right? And your will is in your soulical arena. Most people have problems in the soulical arena, and that's why there's splits in churches and all sorts of things that happen, because it's soulical. If people were walking out of the new creation, who they're in Christ Jesus, and out of the love of God, we would not have those problems. And that's why I love this teaching, because it learns us to walk out of the love of God, the love has been shed abroad in your heart, in your spirit. Love is in your heart, not in your head. Faith is not in your head, it's in your heart. Faith, love, and all those forces that God gives us, they are living in your spirit, your heart, not your physical pump. When the Bible talks about heart, it's not talking about physical pump, it's talking about your spirit man, created in the likeness and image of God. So last week we talked about the soulish errors, the total man needs to be surrendered to the spirit. Your recreated spirit, when you got born again and received Jesus, there is only one room for one throne on our life, and the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be placed on it. All the people problems that are experienced in the churches are really soulishly problems, soulical problems, right? It's reasoning realm problems, you know. Don't like this, don't like that, don't like the color of the church, don't like the carpet, don't like the noise, too quiet, too loud, pastor talks too long, you know, soulical. Reasoning realm. That's where the enemy loves to have it's the playground of the enemy, and you have to protect your mind. You have to renew your mind, and you have to walk out of your spirit man to stop those things from happening. God doesn't stop those things from happening. You stop those things from happening. By faith, it's in your heart, getting the word in your heart, and rising up so we can come together and walk in the love and the unity of Jesus Christ so that he can build his church. And we can get rid of all those silly little problems. Because Jesus says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right? It's not a big thing. It's usually the small things. It's usually the color of the church or, you know, the lights are too bright or something, you know. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's move on. So we're talking a little bit about tonight, a little bit about the body. Spirit, right? Spirit, soul, and body. So the third area of the total man is the body. Almighty God fashioned the human body from the clay of the earth. So you were fashioned. You weren't just thrown together. You were actually fashioned. We talk about fashions in the world. God fashioned you. You are absolutely unique to God. He fashioned you. Not only did he create you in his likeness and his image and give you his nature and your spirit man, but he also fashioned you, fashioned your body. Some people say, well, I don't like my body. Well, do something about it. It's about us. We're supposed to take charge. You can't take charge of your body unless you can grow in your spirit. Your spirit man is what is supposed to be taking charge of your life, right? People say, well, I can't help it. I've got a struggle with overeating. If you would feed your spirit more than you would feed your flesh, you would find that you would rise up and you would start taking dominion in your life, right? You feed your spirit man and you rise up inside and you've got to start taking charge of your life. Your physical being, your mental, the way that you think, you, the spirit man. So the body, Almighty God fashioned the human body from the clay of the earth. Genesis 2 and 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Originally, there was a close kindred between man and the environment. God did not take the dust from other planets. It's not Nanu Nanu, here I am. You know, I just dropped off planet Zeus, right? God took the dust of this earth and created man, molded man, right? The Adamic man, the fleshly man, the body. God took this planet's earth and molded your body. So man has a kindred with the earth. So originally was the close connection between man and the environment. God did not take from other planets to make man on earth. Our human body is like the earth, the area in which we live and have our existence. 1 Corinthians 15, 47 and 49, Amplified says this, the first man was from out of the earth, right? Made of dust, earthly minded. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust, earthly minded. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heavenly minded. And just as we have been born, the image of the man of the dust, so shall we also, let also us bear the image of the man of heaven. The body is easy to identify, classify. It's the body, it's clay. Now listen. The first man, Adam, was made from the dust of the earth. Then God breathed life into him. So we were born. We still have the Adamic nature, which is in your flesh, right? And I know that I keep going over things, but listen, the Apostle Paul went over things and over things to Peter. And you read those books, and he was always going over things. Ever pastor back in Scotland used to always get a bit of a going over with people saying he's always repeating himself. Of course he's going to repeat himself because they didn't get it. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 25th time, you know what I'm saying? And as we've talked before, sometimes he brings pastors and teachers and all of a sudden they speak the same thing he's been speaking for years and they go, wow, oh, revelation. He's been telling us for 2 years, right? So we've got to repeat things. That's why I do this. So the Adamic man is in the fleshly nature, right? The fleshly nature. You've got the blood. You've got the flesh of Adam. Why? Because we were created from the dust of the earth, right? Like Adam. And Adam's seed, all through Adam, all men, right, came. And that's why sin entered right through the whole dimension of the earth. It's not about good works or whatever. It's about what Jesus did at the cross. And because of Adam, mankind fell, right, in the garden. His fault. So we have got the natural fashioned clay house and the blood of Adam within our veins. But the second man is Jesus from heaven. That's why they call him the spiritual man. Came from heaven. We have that second nature, and that's where you get born again. It's your spirit man. It's your spirit man. Your spirit man. You were born from above. You weren't born from anything. You were born from above. That's why Paul always says, I'm not of this world. Paul says, my citizenship is not of this world. Your citizenship isn't of this world. It's of a heavenly realm. It's a heavenly kingdom. That's why the disciples were always fighting, going, oh, can you bring your kingdom here? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. There's a kingdom. There's a dimension of heaven within you. There's a dimension of the kingdom of God within you. There's things in us that we don't even realize within us. Supernatural dimensions of the Spirit of God, that you're in your spirit, you can enter into your spirit and you'll see things and perceive things and know things supernaturally. It is a kingdom that dwells within us. The kingdom of God is within you, right? In you. So the disciples were always looking for the kingdom to be established because they didn't understand spiritual things. Because remember, they weren't born again until Jesus went to the cross. So they couldn't grasp spiritual truths. A lot of things he was telling them. So they were looking for this kingdom. No. The kingdom within you. Jesus was talking about a different kingdom, right? In fact, Jesus made statements in John, and he says, look, you're of this world, right? But he says, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. You're in this world. Of course we're in this world, right? We're in this tent on this earth. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are of a different world, people. It is the world of God. It is the kingdom of God. It's the realm of love. It's the realm of peace. It's the realm of joy. It's the realm where God moves and has his being in you. and through you. See, we're always looking out here for God. Of course, there'll be manifestations of the Spirit of God on the outward workings, but God wants to move in you and wants to move through you. He needs to speak into your very being because the kingdom of God is in here. So that's why it says, sometimes when you worship and you've prayed and you're praying in the Holy Ghost and then you take time and just go, I see it like this. It's like deep sea diving. It's like deep sea diving, right? Or the yellow submarine. You know, going deeper, right? You can go into your spirit, man, right? Sometimes we're living so shallow. We're living so shallow, solically, up here, thinking, reasoning things out, solically. The solical man, reason up here. But you know, God wants us to go deeper. Deep calleth unto deep, it says. You've got to go deeper. You've got to learn to, it's just like seeing yourself deep sea dive in this well, in this kingdom, with inside of you. There's a kingdom. There's revelation, there's wisdom, there's understanding. There's the kingdom of God is full of things. You've got to go inside. Stop searching out here. Your destiny is in here. And when you search and you start praying by the Holy Ghost, what happens is God starts to pray your destiny out into the out here, into the natural. We were talking about some of these things come across tonight. Nothing happens without prayer, people. You want things to happen in your life, you have to be a person of prayer. Prayer creates the environment for God to move and create things. So, the body is easy for us to classify and to identify. Remember in the early lesson, we saw that the body is a part of man that contacts and operates the physical, carnal realm. So the body touches, right? This is the part of man through which the five senses operate. Now, just before I talk about the five senses, remember what Paul says? I walk by faith and not by sight, right? What he was saying was, I don't walk by the, when you're walking with God, you're not walking by the five physical senses, right? You're not walking by the reasoning realm, right? I'm not walking, if I don't feel God, you can't walk, if you don't feel God, you can't walk with God because you don't feel, if I don't feel God, and I'm saying, oh, I don't feel God, so I don't really feel God's close to me, what you're doing is you're drawing back from God. Right? The Bible says, draw near to God and I'll draw near to... What is he saying by that one? Draw near to me. It means worship him. It means, I just thank you that you dwell within me. I thank you. It's Christ within me, the hope of glory. I thank you that you're in me and I'm in you. And you speak how he tells you the way it really is. What happens, you start to, by faith, you start to draw close to God and you start to sense his presence in your spirit. So it's got nothing to do with feelings. Now your feelings will change and you will sense his presence in your spirit and it will affect your emotions and it will affect your feelings. But God is a spirit. He's not a feeling. He's a spirit. He's a person. You're a spirit living in a body. So we can draw close by faith to God as we speak who we are in Christ and who he is in us. Never mind, I don't feel God. Oh, Lord, I just thank you that you're in me. Something will start to happen inside of you. God will start to rise in you. Because you're awakening, your spirit is awakening to the truth. So the body. This is the part of man through which the five senses operate. Sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. The five senses. The five senses are responsible for relaying information to the brain. The five senses are responsible for relaying information to the brain, the soul, which in turn stores the information, right? Now, I think I said this a few weeks ago. Everything that we learn from a child upwards, we learn through touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight, the whole thing. We are learning things all the time through our five physical senses. That's how you learn. Through your five physical senses. You put your hand towards a fire and you feel the heat and you pull your hand back. You learn. If you touch it, you get burnt. You'll not do that again, right? You've learned a lesson. Or you should have done. If not, you've got to move from the land of stupid onto the land of wisdom, right? Don't be sticking your hands in the wrong places.
You got two hands.
That's two hands. Okay, buddy. That's because he's Scottish, you know. Hallelujah. So the five senses are responsible for relaying that information. The senses can become impaired by accident, carelessness, overwork, etc. Or you could even put in here stupidity, right? etc. So they are not to be depended upon as such when we're walking with God, right? Why? Because if you feel that God's not close to you and you go by that feeling, what are you doing? You're pulling away from God. And you're walking by your senses. Because I don't feel God. That's like saying, come on, that's like saying, I don't feel married. You say that, bro, and you'd be in trouble, right? Now, there's times in your life when you go through marriage, and certainly in our marriage, there's times I didn't feel like I wanted to be married, right? And neither did she, right? But if I had went with my feelings, we would have been divorced, right? But we are now 27 years happily married now. Well, she would probably say, maybe 10. She'd probably tell you 10, right? So I can just, she's not here, so I can just exaggerate a little bit. So if I went with my feelings and my emotions, we wouldn't be together. But I wasn't, though I felt those things, and though the enemy tried to use, you know, the feelings of anger with situations, her maybe not understanding me not being what she thought I should be, you know, you're learning to grow with God and all of those areas. If we would have went with our feelings and emotions, we would not have been together. So you can't live, so you've got to live your life by the word. By what the word of God says. What God's put together, let no man put asunder. Let no devil put asunder. Live by faith. Start pressing into God and start speaking life over the marriage. And that's how we started to change things. Your spirit wants to speak life. Your soul wants to condemn. Your soulical man and your fleshly man wants to condemn, wants to pull down, wants to criticize. They don't love me. She never tells me she loves me. Jesus says, shut up. I love you. Just get on with it. Right? Just get on with it. Stop moaning and groaning and complaining. Start speaking life. So you just thank God. Father, I thank you that she's beautiful. She's wonderful. I thank you, Lord, that she's a great woman of God. What are you doing? You're speaking life. Your spirit, man. Remember we talked about this, that faith is a language. Your spirit speaks a faith language, exhortation, comfort, and edification. That is the language of your spirit, man. Right? Moaning, complaining, judgmental attitudes and all the criticism. That's the attitude of the soulical man. And it needs to be nailed. It needs to be crucified. Get back on, Danny. We're dealing with this stuff next week, I think. Jesus. I just love that stuff. I'll tell you, that's why. So the carnal man. So, where are we? So finding the senses can become impaired by accident, da da da. Their findings are continually being revised. So their findings, this is talking about the senses, right? Or the natural man. Their findings are continually being revised as events around them begin to alter. They are not infallible, but they are limited, right? There are many vital things that the human being desires to know that the senses cannot know, right? There's many things that the senses does not know. In other words, when Jesus comes to the man and he comes to the guy and he says, look, you're a man, Nathaniel. He comes to Nathaniel and he says, Nathaniel, you're a man without guile in your heart. How did he know that? It wasn't by his head. It was his spirit connected, the Holy Spirit, giving him revelation and wisdom, and he knew supernatural things from his innermost being. So there's things that your spirit knows that your head doesn't know. One, the origin of life. So this is what your head doesn't know. The origin of life, the origin of man, and the creation. Why? We still see today people still looking, what, you know, how did life happen, you know? I mean, I worked with a guy in social work, believe me. This was a really nice guy, intellectual guy, really clever guy, and worked in social for a few years. This guy believed that he came from gases. I says, brother, you've got more faith than I've got. You've got more faith than I've got that you came from smelly gases, right? That's what he believed. See, men are still looking. See, because intellectualism and the soulical man and the reasoning realm is always looking for things to see how things, but they'll never do it. God created this earth. God created mankind. So I was created in the likeness and image of God. I didn't come from no stinking gas, right? Or no stinking monkey either, right? You can make a monkey out of a man, but, right? You can't make a man of a monkey. Anyway, let's move on. The carnal man is limited. Sense knowledge is limited to the scope of what each sense can provide. For example, if a person is blind, deaf, and the senses become restricted to a degree, right? Because there's many things that I believe what happens with blind people and stuff like that, they start to rely on the inward person, right? That's how they can be sensitive and so many different things in the inner man, right? But there is restrictions, you know, from the natural man. There's things that, you know, I mean, they've got to have, there's things that there's restrictions when you're blind, right? In the natural man. But they can tap into the supernatural man and to the spirit man. I'm talking even people who are not saved, because they're still a spirit, right? So they go in there and they learn other senses within their spirit. So this part of man was created to serve us, right? What we're talking about, the body was created to serve your spirit. You need your body. Your spirit is going nowhere without your body taking it. Just, right, that's it. You can go nowhere. Like, I want to just go over here. And my body's going, I ain't going nowhere, buddy. I'm staying here. I'm like, I'm staying here. This spirit man needs this body to take it over here. So I've got to take charge, right? So your body's just a servant. It's a tent. For this part of man was created to serve as a servant, even as a slave. The mortal part of man was to obey the spirit man. The carnal man or body will always reflect or manifest what the inner man wants. So the carnal man or the body will always reflect and manifest what the inner man wants. If the inner man is evil, the body will commit evil acts. So we see people doing evil acts in the world. That is because they're already evil inside, right? Their soulical man is basically full of evil, right? Full of crazy stuff. In fact, God talks about it even in Genesis. That's why he says, I've got to destroy the earth before the remnant basically is gone and I can't bring man, you know, back upon the earth again. God had to destroy. See, people look at that. Why did God? Listen, if God had allowed that stuff and what was going on at the earth in Genesis at that point in time, because of the debauchery, the evilness that was in the imaginations of men's minds at that point in time, there would be no salvation for any man. You wouldn't be sitting here today. So God had to put a stop to it. That was love in action, right? Now, they all had a chance to repent, but one guy put his hand up, Noah, right? And all of a sudden, mankind comes back from there again. So God's all, when you read the Bible, sometimes you can read it, especially in the Old Testament, you read things and you think, God's, no, anything God does, he does because of love. If you can get that into your spirit, man, and into anything God does, he does because of love. There's always a reason why God, because God is love and he can't be anything else. He is love. That's who he is. He's love. But he will do certain things to stop destruction coming so that he can have his plan can be fulfilled. So if the inward man is evil, the outward man will be evil and do crazy things. The body will commit evil acts if the inner man, the body will commit acts. If the inner man is spiritual, the body will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Right? So in other words, you start to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You start to know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, temperance. Right? Love has been shed abroad in your heart and your spirit by the Holy Ghost. Love's already in there. Remember what I said? You can't pray for more love. God's not listening to that prayer because he's saying, what are you talking about? I've put my love in your spirit. But you have to develop it. And the way that you develop it is take the love scriptures and meditate on that and start speaking over yourself and start decreeing that you're a person of love because you have the nature of love. What you're doing, you're renewing your mind to who you really are. It's not somebody you're trying to be. It's who you really are. You're a love person because you're created in his likeness and his image. And God is love. And therefore, you are love. But I don't see that person walking love. That's because they've not been trained and they're not developing their innermost being. Christians have got to develop their spirit man to take charge of their life. That's why they're acting crazy and doing all crazy things. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "And or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you are from God, and you are not your own?" We are not our own people. You know, but Christians live their own lives and do their own things and think, you know, that they can just do that. Oh, well, they can because they have a free will and God will not interrupt your free will. But the reality is we actually belong to him. He paid a price for us that we could walk and have fellowship and talk with him. And he wants fellowship with us and he wants to prosper and bless our life and make our life better. But if we, by our choice and by our will, walk away and do our own thing, he's not going to intervene in that because you're making choices. Choose life or death, cursing or blessing. You choose. But he's given you the power to choose now because you're born again. So God in us. See, we are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's why I always say, what do you mean you don't feel God? How closer can God get to you? How closer? If you are the temple that God, His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who is God, He is God, He lives in us. So He communicates to our spirit man. And that's what we're not been hearing, because we've been used to listen to our soulical man, the emotions and the intellect and the reasoning realm. But the more we get this word into us and renew our minds, we will start to hear clearer. I mean, I'm traveling with, you know, we were going through in Australia just last week, when we were going to places, like, I didn't really have anything prepared. What am I going to preach at churches? I'm sitting in the back car, Joe's talking to me. And even as Joe is talking to me, right? Now, I was listening to you, Joe, right? So I could get myself in trouble here, right? He was driving the car, he was talking to me. As he was talking to me, I was still listening. I'm listening in my spirit. I'm going, God, what do you want? And in little things, I got little flashes, just little pictures of things, pictures of scriptures, just little things. What am I doing? I'm talking to Him in my spirit, right? And yet I can still listen to Him with my mind. See, we are three-dimensional. I'm sitting in the car, listening to Him. I'm sitting in the car, driving the car, listening to Him, and I'm listening to God in my spirit at the same time. We are three-dimensional people. This means that human body is directed by its five senses. Its dwelling place of deity. This means that the human body, directed by its five senses, is a dwelling place for deity. That means God. God is deity. And God's in you. The Holy Ghost is God. God wants the desires to possess the human body and to use all the faculties. He wants to use our body. That's why He says, go lay hands on the sick. Speak, declare. He needs this body. How can He go if you don't go? Because He's in you. He needs us, people. He needs your body. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Romans chapter 6 and 12 and verse 13 says, Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now, we've been doing this a few weeks. Who is you? Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Who's He talking to? Your spirit. You, the spirit man, is the only person that can cause sin not to rule in your mortal body. Your flesh ain't going to take charge, right? Your flesh wants to sin. Your flesh wants to do its own thing, right? Because it still has that Adamic nature in it. But your spirit is recreated in the likeness and image of God. It doesn't have the old nature any longer. The spiritual nature is dead. It was crucified at Calvary. You're a brand new person. So when Paul's talking these scriptures, he's saying, you, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. He's talking to the new creation reality, man. He's talking to your spirit. And what he's saying, rise up and take charge and don't let sin rule in your life. It wants to creep in. It wants to devour you. But he's telling them, rise up, come on. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. See, there's lusts. There's desires in the flesh. And the key is, don't feed it. If you're struggling in an area of your life, I mean, I was working in when I was in Whakatane, but there was this house where a lot of guys that came from background, from gangs and different things and drugs and the whole deal. And the guys that were working with these guys, it was a house, and the guy did a great job that was working there, right? No doubt he was doing a great job. But one night, when I first came to New Zealand, I was for about a few weeks in a video store, right, working. And these guys came into the shop that I knew that they were from this house attached to a church, right? And what happened was, these guys brought the videos to the counter, and I looked at the videos and I went, forget it. I ain't giving you those videos, right? Because they're getting rehabilitated, or supposed to be, right? And I'm talking, it was violence and anger and demonic, the videos they were watching. If you hang with big dogs, you get big fleas. You can't feed yourself. If you are struggling with anger in your life, you can't feed yourself on angry movies and destructive movies like that. Why? Because you're feeding your flesh. So I said to the guys, you ain't getting these videos. They looked at me. They were all sheepish. You know, I mean, I'm talking Black Power guys, right? You know, down there in Whakatane. They looked at me going, you ain't getting them. You want your life changed and transformed? I says, go back. I said, and find yourself, you know, a PG, right? And then put your pajamas on afterwards, right? Just go and find yourself a PG. You can't feed yourself on stuff. If people are men, let's talk to men here. If men are struggling in sexual things, you can't feed yourself on stuff. Because you'll feed the flesh and the desires will become so strong, it will pull you in that direction. You have to starve it. You have to starve those things in your life. You starve it. You feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith on the love of God and starve the anger to death. Feed your faith and starve those sexual perverted thoughts to death. That's how you do it. But you get men in little groups and they say, oh, I can't help it, you know, but God's grace will cover me. Hogwash. God's grace is there to empower your life, to cause you to rise up, to overcome. He never gave you grace to sit under it, to let it dominate you and to let sin reign over you. He gave you his spirit and his grace so that you could rise up inside and overcome the stuff that's trying to take you out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we are not to let sin reign in our mortal body, that you should obey its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. See, don't present your eyes to the wrong television programs. Don't present your ears to the gossip and all the stuff that goes on and whatever. Because if you present your body, your ears to your natural man, to those things, it will empower the natural man to take dominance over your life. And your spirit man will be sitting there going, when is he ever going to give me a break? When is he ever going to feed me so I can rise up and take charge? And then all of a sudden, the consequences come with all that stupid stuff. And we wonder why we're in that state. Because we are feeding ourselves on that stuff. Okay, here's another scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Let's see how many pages before I have a break here. Let's see what that one there. It's 1, 2, 3. Yep. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Says this. This is Paul talking, right? He says, but I discipline my body. Okay, here we are again. Who's the I? Come on, people, speak to me. Who? Your spirit. He's saying, I, the spirit man. I, me, the ember man, the spirit man. He says, I discipline my body. I discipline. God doesn't discipline your body. Oh, God, please help me, deliver me from this. God's saying, rise up and take charge. Fill your heart with faith. Starve your doubt to death. Your spirit man will rise up and these things will fall off of you because the life of God is actually getting poured into your spirit. Living and dwelling in the vine. And it's the vine living in the life of the vine. The vine life, the life of the vine flows through into the branch and knocks the old stuff off. Right? So Paul says, I discipline my body. You don't discipline anybody else's body. He says, my body. Get your nose out of people's businesses. Right? Don't be busybodies. Deal with yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it says. Work out your own salvation. Work it out from the inward man, the inward being. Work it out. Work out yourself. Work out the salvation. Work out the kingdom of God. Work out the peace, the joy, the meditation of the word of God. Work it out. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. How can you preach to others? How, you know, no wonder the world has looked at the church and going, if that's Christianity, he's trying to preach to me and his life's a state and a mess. Who wants that? That's what they're saying. It's time. The Bible says God, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And God wants that candle brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until Jesus comes and arises in your heart with healing in his wings. And I've said before in these classes, the only Jesus the world will see is the Jesus in you. Tell you, that's profound. So if you're some miserable little, not you, right, just talking sake, yeah. If we're some miserable little, you know, person always sucking lemons and always criticizing, always judgmental attitude, you know, is that what we're showing to the world? They see that every day in their life. They don't want that. When you go to work and everybody's doing their stuff behind the scenes with the bosses and all the rest of it, and you get your mouth involved in that, you're like the world. We've got to be separate. We're supposed to be a light. And the only way that you can do it is feed your spirit. Because your spirit will get so strong inside, it will take charge of that stuff. No, I ain't getting involved in that junk. That's not contaminating my ears. They're not using my ears for dustbins, you know, garbage bins. You got to protect your ears. Protect what you look at. Anyway, let's move on now. I could dig a hole here. How God can use the five senses. How God can use the five senses. The eyes, the sight, either love or lust can flow from your eyes. Come on. Have you ever looked into somebody's eyes and you've seen hatred? Come on. Right? I mean hatred. Right? That's because the inward man, there's hatred flowing through their inner man, and it's the eyes, there's hatred coming out their eyes. Then you can look into some other people's eyes. And what do you see? You see love. Right? You look in their eyes and you see love. I got saved because I looked into the eyes of my cousin, right? And I saw love. I saw love in her eyes. I saw that she was loved, and love was penetrating my innermost being through her eyes. So God needs your eyes. People, look into your eyes. The eyes are the window of your soul, right? So love, but it can be hate or it can be love. And I tell you what, it depends on what you meditate on. See, if you get into an argument with your wife or whatever, let's choose, she's not here, so I can say it. cut that out of the anyway, you get into an argument with your wife, whatever, right? And all of a sudden, you get all these feelings and all these emotions going through you, whatever. And all of a sudden, you start thinking about, you know, but you said this and you done that, and you don't understand all that, and you don't really care. See, and you meditate. And you know what starts to happen? Then all of a sudden, you get up there, and after you look at them, and they can see there's no love flowing out your eyes. Why? Because you've been meditating on the wrong stuff, right? My wife, man, she is, man, I need the Holy Ghost, right? But when I don't hear the Holy Ghost, she just looks at me and she just knows, right? She's just one of those persons, she just, go and deal with yourself. That's the way she speaks to me, the preacher. Go, you, take yourself off to your room and go and get with God and deal with yourself. And my flesh is going, you know, it's wanting to attack. But in my heart, I know it's the truth. And my soul and my flesh is fighting with it, right? And nine times out of ten, I'll go and I'll deal with it, right? The odd time I have a little, but nine times out of ten, I'll go and I'll deal with it because I know she's telling the truth, right? But I have that struggle. That's that battle you have with the flesh, the physical man, the soulical man, and your spirit man. So thank God for a woman that doesn't compromise. Sometimes that's hard, but the mouth, the taste. God does not have you until he has your tongue. Oh, God does not have you until he has your tongue. The tongue links the body to the soul. The tongue links the body to the soul like a bit in the horse's mouth. James 3, 2 and 3 says this. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man. That word perfect means mature. He's a mature man, right? Able also to bridle the whole body. Bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body around. Come on, this is New Zealand, right? You've seen. You don't put a bit in that horse's mouth. That horse can take off. It sees it can take off anytime it wants, right? So you can control the horse with a bit in its mouth. But God's talking to us. He's talking to us and he's going, for we stumble at many things. And you read this in James and it talks about this whole thing. You, the natural man, people, the natural man, the carnal man, the fleshly man, can't take charge of that tongue. That's why he says in James, the natural man can't take charge of that tongue. And all that full poison and all that evil stuff, it can't take charge. That's why you got born again. Because your spirit man is supposed to rise up and take charge of your tongue. Your soul command wants to bite, wants to devour, wants to have its, you know, it wants to have its say. Right? And that tongue wants to give its pennies worth. And your spirit man's going, don't say it, don't do it, don't say it, don't do it. Uh-oh, here it comes. Jando. Got myself into trouble, right? The bit has to. Now, the way the bit gets into your mouth is by yielding to your spirit and the Holy Ghost. God didn't leave you on your own to do things. He sent the Holy Ghost to help you, right? You are a spirit. Yes, he empowers you through his word and your spirit man. But the Holy Ghost on top of that will help you, will lead you, will guide you, and will encourage you. Don't do that. Don't say that. Right? He will strengthen you. That's why you got to build a relationship with him. Because he's always speaking to your spirit man. Right? Trying to lead you into the paths of righteousness, into the place of peace. So read James in that context and you'll see it's just absolutely powerful. In fact, there's only James that says that even at hell, your tongue is set on fire by hell. Because if you start yielding your tongue to those ugly things, then Satan has the opportunity then to start firing stuff into your solical man. And next thing you know, you've set a whole world on fire. You've set, you know, a whole, families are destroyed by things that are said, right? People live their whole life in despair and broken because somebody has basically spoken ugly words to them that you're useless, you're no good, you'll never make it, right? And they live their whole life because of words like that that's grabbed that, you know. Remember the old song, sticks and bones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's garbage. It's the other way around. Somebody can punch you in your nose and a few hours later you can go over it, right? But somebody speaks ugly words to you if you, now here's the key, if you receive them. If you receive them. Do you know that? Our pastor used to always say this. Do you know that offense is not given? It's taken. Offense is never given. It is taken. Nobody can offend you if you do not take it. Right? And we're supposed to be in charge of that. But you can be offended left, right, and center all day long because you're just receiving what they're saying. How about receiving? Proverbs says, receive my words. Receive my instruction. Receive who I say that you are, that you're blessed, that you're anointed, that you're beautiful, that you're empowered, that you're a champion, that you're an awesome man of God, an awesome woman of God, that you are my child, that you are my righteousness. Receive what he says. Forget what they say. So you receive the offense. And some people also take the gate with them too. Just a little. Anyway. Yeah, I know, mate. Must be that Australian, you know, being over there with those Aussies there. You made a bit of a kick up the backside. They pulled on that gift. The Revelations 2 and 17 says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no knows except him who receives it. To him who overcomes, let him have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Now I believe that's twofold. Your physical ear and your spiritual ear. You've got to listen. I got taught many years ago in prayer, especially when we have prayer groups, right? When you go into a prayer group and you're an intercessors, whatever, intercessors have to learn to listen in two ways. They have to listen with their natural ear and they have to listen with their spiritual ear. What am I saying is, one time I was just learning prayer and the whole thing, and I'm in these, with these powerful intercessors, and the woman of God that was there was just, she was awesome, just, you know, knew the Spirit of God. And I'm on the floor and I'm in a session, I'm praying, and all of a sudden she comes up and she just tapped me on the back with her feet and she goes, where are you off to? Come back. She says, listen with your natural ear. In other words, listen to what's happening in the room. Listen to where we're going, right? I was away on a different trail, right? Tonto. You know, the Lone Ranger was going that way and Tonto was off that way, right? So she was pulling me back in the spirit. So you learn spiritually. You've got spiritual ears and you've also got natural ears, right? I mean, I love it, even the music. I listen here with the music in my spirit, but I listen with natural ear too. And I try to get hooked in, especially when Joel's playing, and especially when we start to sing in the spirit with him. I listen both ways. You listen both ways in your spirit. A lot of people listen just with the outward man, but you're listening with the inner ear, and your spiritual ear, and also your outward ear. Different teaching, let's go. Okay. Last scripture, and we'll take a break. So Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Right? E, touch. Matthew 14:36, last scripture. And begged him, and they begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Right? Touched him. See, touch. There's the physical. Remember the woman in the issue of blood? Right? And she says she heard. Right? She heard with her natural ear. She heard about Jesus was the, what did she hear? She heard he was the healer. Why did she hear? Because she made out of her, she made a confession of faith. See, faith is believing and speaking. And she says, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be made whole. right? So she gets in there, touches the hem of his garment with what? With her hand, right? She touches the garment, virtue leaves him, and she gets healed, and he turns around and says, who touched me? But he was talking twofold. He was talking twofold. Because the disciple says, what do you mean, who touched you? There's thousands of people touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? No, somebody touched me. Virtue left me. You touch God by faith, right? So that's a different dimension, but it's still twofold. She touched the physical man. That was her act of faith, going and touching the hem of his garment with her hand physically. But she said, her faith was released in what she said. If I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So she released her faith because she believed he was a healer. She pressed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment. That was the act of her faith. And she received her healing. And he says, woman, thy faith made thee whole. It wasn't him. He was the healer. But she pulled from Jesus. Okay, take a break. Okay, let's get back into it. Father, we just thank you again for your presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your dominion in this place. We thank you, Lord, for... Lord, just we're enjoying ourselves tonight, Jesus. We thank you that we're just having a good time and enjoying ourselves, that you're teaching us by your Spirit. And Lord, just we are family, Lord, enjoying your teaching and enjoying your presence. Lord God, to be built up and strengthened, that our light can shine, that other people can see that there is a God who loves us and can set us free. So we thank you again, Holy Spirit, as you are the teacher, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we finished on Matthew 14:36, and it says, and they begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. So we're talking about the five physical senses. So, you know, there's times that you will have to step out in the physical being as an act of faith, right? Remember with the men that brought the man on the stretcher that was paralyzed? So they actually physically took that man, couldn't get him into the house where Jesus was, and they ripped the guy's roof off. I mean, imagine we're standing here preaching all of a sudden, and somebody's look up and here, and you're seeing the sky. You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. They were so passionate and determined and full of faith and believing they could get the guy into the presence of Jesus, he'd be healed. And it did, he got healed. And Jesus said he saw their faith, and I thought, well, how do you see faith, Lord? Because faith is a spiritual substance. And God showed me quite clearly. It was the act of faith. It was a spiritual force. That was because they knew and they said, if we can get up to Jesus, right? But that was faith being released. But the act of faith was they got that guy, and that guy had faith. Why? Because I mean, a guy in a stretcher letting you lift him up in a building and putting you through a roof. Right? So there's physical acts that God needs our body for. There's times that we need to act in faith or go out in the streets. You get taught the gifts of the Spirit, and your spirit gets built up, and you have an expectation. And then God is saying, okay, we're going to go out in the streets, and your body's going, no, I'm not going out there. God needs your body. Because when he gets out there, then he's something to work with. So that was the body. So who the new creation reality is? Who is a new creation reality? If you were to ask most Christians who the new creation is, they would most probably answer that person who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Lord and Savior would be the new creation, right? So when I got saved, come on, when I got saved, right, I had no idea that I was a new creation. I just thought that was it. I thought I had to live with me. You didn't get that, did you? You know, God deals with your spirit, right? As you with that soul who come on that flesh, well, I didn't know that stuff, right? So when I got saved, I'm thinking, is this it, right? Even though it was good, there was parts, no. Because you think that's it. When you first get saved, you think that's it. The whole being. No, the whole being isn't the new creation. Your spirit is the new creation. You still have to wash your mind with the washing of the water by the word of God and crucify your flesh on a daily basis. I didn't know any of that stuff. That's why after I got saved for 3 months, I was still in parties, still doing drugs, and yet God still speaking to me inside and going, you don't belong here. I didn't know it was God. God was speaking to me. You don't belong here any longer. What are you doing here? I was in a different environment. Why? Because my environment was an environment of love and an environment of faith inside, but my body was in a different environment. My spirit is living in an environment of God speaking to me, and my body was in this drug environment. See? You can live in two dimensions. But I didn't know until I got round with the big dogs. And the big anointing started to get on my life and teaching and understanding. It was just, you know, you start to grow. So while that is truth, because it is not discerned accurately, it's caused us to live in assumption about what happens and to whom it happens at the new birth. So we live in assumption. We think that's the whole package. It's not a whole package, right? So 2 Corinthians 5, 17, 18 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new being. Another translation says a new species, right? A new species. Why? Because you're born from above. The second Adam, you're born from above. A new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled to us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's a ministry there that comes with it too. But old things have passed away. What is it? The old nature. The old sinful nature. The old spiritual man. Dead. Gone. You're a brand new person. You ain't that person that you were before you received Jesus. Your flesh might be telling you that, and your mind might be unrenewed to that, but the truth of the matter is, you are a new creation, you're a spirit being connected to God now, and you have dominion in your spirit. It changes everything. It changes everything in your life. So, the scripture describes what happens at the new birth. Two things can be highlighted. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Old things refer to the old sin nature, right? The old thing, the old sin nature. That old man, gone, dead. You know how I go in the classes and I keep telling you, and I hear people say things like, you know, I need to crucify the old man. You can't crucify the old man because the old man's already been crucified. He's dead. You crucify the flesh. You renew the mind. Right, you renew the mind with the word of God. You wash your mind with the word, and your soul. See, it's what it's, again, James, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul, your intellect, and get that part of your soul renewed. But your spirit man is brand new. It's connected to God, DNA of God. So old things refer to the old sin nature that was resident in our human spirit. This sin nature is taken away at the new birth. All things refer to the nature and spirit of God. See, all things have become new. To the nature and the spirit of God that comes to take up residence in our human spirit at the new birth. Right? So all things become new. God comes and lives. There's a kingdom comes and lives with inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside of you. Peace, love, joy, all of these things living inside of you. In fact, Corinthians says that your earthen vessels full of treasure. Right? Corinthians talks about your earthen vessels full of this treasure, full of wisdom and knowledge that's inside of us, and it's got to be tapped into. Like going on the streets, you know, you great teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and whatever, and not just because it's me, but it was good teaching anyway. But the teaching without the activation and without the people actually searching, like, you know, deep sea diving, going in the spirit, looking for God, looking for pictures, looking for God to give them pictures and show them where to go and what to pray for and things like that. Without people doing that, the teaching would have been not benefited them. So when this change takes place, we become born again, and indeed we confess to others that we are born again Christians. It is vital that we discern this truth and not be misguided into error. The new birth is a spiritual rebirth only. Neither the soul nor the body are born again at the point that you receive Jesus. So you didn't get a new body. And if you're like me and didn't have hair, when I got born again, I didn't, you know, well, I had hair at the time, but if I got saved and I didn't have hair, I would still have no hair, right? So it's not your body God's dealing with. It's not your solical man and all the way that you think. He doesn't deal with those things straight away. He deals with your spirit straight away, and you get born again. Then that's why he likes people live in the land of stupid when they think that they don't need church. Why? Because you need church, because you need men and women of God who are anointed to teach the word of God so you can grow thereby and your life can change and be transformed. Yeah. We need church. It's the facility of God. It was God. Jesus says, my church, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's talking about you, but he's talking the church coming together. And how does he build it? Through the fivefold ministry gifts. The apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, divine, all the gifts. That's how he does it, through the anointing on those gifts to build the church. Anyway, move on. I know you all believe that anyway, right? But just, where was I now? So So that God comes to live and dwell within us. So the new birth is a spiritual rebirth. Neither soul nor body was born again. The soul and the body are not spiritually alive to God, right? They're not spiritually alive to God. Neither will they ever be. They are there to serve the new creation. All their positive abilities and attributes have been created by God so that man can experience in the natural realm all the benefits of the blessings from God. So your soul and your body is there to serve your spirit so that God can manifest, right? And your soul can get saved, but it's the engrafted word that will save it. So you have to take the word of God that's being preached on every Sunday or every meeting you're at, when the word of God is getting preached, that word is coming and renewing your mind and your soul is getting saved. Because remember, your soul is attached. It's very hard. The only thing that can separate your soul is the word of God. Your soul and your spirit is the word. It's the only thing that descends between your soul and your spirit. Because you see, when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, he speaks to you through the word. When you try to step out of love, the Spirit of God's going, hey, your love of God's here. Keep staying in love. Your solical man's going, no. I'm got to get my peace in here. You know, I want my peace. Right? So the only thing that descends the soul and the spirit man is the word. That's why it's the sharp, the two-edged. That's why you got to get the word in you. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. The word speaks to you. So the word of God, Holy Spirit will take the word and speak to you. Hey, you're born again. You're in Christ. You're a love person. And all of a sudden, that discernment comes, and all of a sudden, you take charge of your soul command, and you go, I ain't doing that. And that's how you start to take dominion, because your spirit starts to rise up. But it's rise up because you feed your faith and you starve your doubts to death. So 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, is being renewed day by day. Now, it's only being renewed day by day if you're doing something with it. If you don't feed your spirit, it's not being renewed day by day. Right? You've got to feed yourself. I mean, it's like, if you don't feed yourself in the natural, you're going to fade away. Right? Fade into nothing. Turn sideways, we'll report you missing. Right? We'll just report you missing. Right? So you got to feed yourself physically. Spiritually, it's no different. That's why, me personally, I'll go to bed listening to people who I like. Preachers, right? I'm on a certain line of faith stuff, and I just love listening to certain things on faith. I go to bed listening to the Word of God. I feed my spirit. This doesn't just happen. Even though I'm reading off this manual, it flows. Why? Because I feed myself. You've got to feed yourself. It's not. See, the pastor's responsibility, yes, is to feed you and give you insight how to walk with God and to train you and show you certain things. But you have to still, you can't live on one meal a week. Come on, if somebody was trying to build your house in the natural and the builder says, I'll come on Sunday for 45 minutes every Sunday to build your house, you'd probably be dead before the house was built. Right? In the natural. But we're talking about, this house, the ever life. We need more than one meal a week. So we've got to do ourselves, feed our faith. So therefore, do not lose heart. The outward natural carnal man is perishing, growing old and wearing out. It will begin to become defective and deficient through wear and tear, but the new creation, the inner man, is growing every day. In other words, I'm still healthy. I still play football in the Parks way. I mean, we still play, a bunch of us play on Sunday nights, me and Joel, a whole bunch of us. I mean, he'll tell you, do I look like an old man in a park? I've got more energy than a lot of those young guys, mate, right? Okay, because God quickens me in spirit, and I keep my body as healthy as I can, right? But I know that I'm not as fast as I used to be. I know there's still limitations, right? Even though my spirit's going, you can do this, right? I know there's certain limitations, right? But the reality is, there's a scripture also in Romans that says, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will quicken and make alive your mortal body. So I believe that God keeps us younger. He keeps us younger. Why? Because the more life gets into your spirit, it will affect you, even your flesh. That's why I'm still playing football at 56 years old. Right, and running around that park for 2 solid hours on a Sunday night with these guys. 2 solid hours just about. I can do it. Why? Because I'm strong in spirit. There's something. Your spirit's strong. It will cause your flesh. It will cause your physical man to even be strong too. I've ran races. I've done eight New York marathons with a pastor from Scotland, and also ran the Comrades in South Africa, 92 kilometers up mountains. And my flesh and my body wasn't even trained to do that stuff, but I was strong in spirit. I was strong in spirit, and that's what got me through. I mean, a lot of guys train hard for those things. I mean, over the years, we never had that time to train, but we did it. 10.5 hours running. My spirit was strong. The purpose of the soul and the body. In summarizing this section, let us encapsulate all that we have learned so far and make some basic conclusions. God made a human person with three distinct parts. We are a spirit, we possess a soul, or we should possess our soul, because you've got to possess your soul, and we live in a body. Each part of man contacts different dimensions. Now watch this. The spirit man contacts the spiritual realm, right? The spirit man contacts the spiritual realm, God's realm, because God is a spirit. So your spirit contacts the God realm, the spiritual realm. The soul man, the mental reasoning and the will realm. Right? Your soul, mental, reasoning. And God tells you to do something. God says, hey, bless that person with something. And your soul goes, hold on a minute, I've got bills to pay. Da, 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 da. If God has told you to do it, guess what? There's a blessing coming your way. He doesn't tell you to do something unless there's a blessing coming your way. So if God is speaking, if you hear God say that, just do it, obey it. Why? Because your soul will convince you it's not God, and your soul. But what if it's the devil? The devil will not tell you to give. The devil ain't going to tell you to give, right? He wants money, finances locked up so the church can't do and fulfill its vision. The devil wants all the wealth locked up and the sinners. Why? Because the sinners lock their wealth up because of greed, right? So church, God's trying to get the wealth into the hands of the body of Christ so the vision of God can be fulfilled. Because if there's no provision, there is no vision getting fulfilled. That was for free. So that was the soul, right? Reason things. The body, the physical realm, the five senses. We talked about that, right? Smell, touch, you know, taste. I don't feel God. I don't feel like he loves me. Does he tell you? Come on. Look at me. Look at this. Christ on the cross. Don't tell me he doesn't love you. Don't let your feelings tell you he doesn't love you. Just look to the Bible and say, Jesus was crucified for me. That's how much he loves me. That's how much he cares for me. That he was willing to die for me on a cross and suffer all that stuff he suffered. He loves me. So you've got to base your life on the word. Not on your feelings or your emotions or things, because we all go through hard times, people, right? Everybody goes through hard times. But hard times don't last, but hard people do. The soul and the body are made in the likeness of Adam. The spirit is made in the likeness of the second Adam, Christ. Only one part of man was to be the dominant part, and that must be the spirit man. We must place Jesus Christ on the throne of our spirit, our soul, and our body. In other words, people are sitting at home going, I'm in love with the Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life, you know, but I don't need to go to church. Jesus isn't charged. Jesus is not sitting on the throne of your soul, because your soul is keeping you out of church where you should be in church, because you're part of the body and you have something to give. Not just to take, but you have something to give. So that would be your soul trying to keep you at home, like, oh, I'm spiritual, you know, because, you know, I love Jesus. I can watch it on, you know, I can watch the pastors on, the evangelist on TV and feed my spirit. Hey, buddy, you won't be able to phone the evangelist, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're struggling. See, I like evangelists on TVs and preachers on TVs, and but I've always had the reality is they're not my pastors. They'll never be your pastors. And you'll never get the phone numbers for a start, and you'll never be able to call them. When you can call your pastor, you're in trouble. They'll be there.
At
2 in the morning? Yeah, 2 in the morning, bro. Sorry, bro. That's just, you know. He's going, cast that down. Cast that thought down. I'm just, cast that thought down. Okay, 7 o'clock, okay. Hallelujah. I've lost my spot there, but that's what I get for being cheeky. So only one part of man is to be eaten, dominant part must be the spirit man. We must take place, Jesus must take place, our soul, our spirit, and also our body. In other words, he needs your body. Lay hands on the sick, right? He needs your body. The only our spirit man is born again at salvation. Soul and body are servants to the spirit man. The soul and the body must be developed to be willing servants to the spirit man. The soul and the body must be developed. If you develop your soul and you renew your mind with the word of God, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, it says, present your bodies, as we talked about before in the last few classes. You, your spirit, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, right? And then he says, and let your mind be renewed by the word of God, right? Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Transformed. Then you will be able to what? Prove what is the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. Then what? When your spirit, soul, and body are lined up and they're on duty. Amen. Man was created to rule. So the magnificent truth is that God created man and his triune being to rule the planet Earth and everything in the planet. Genesis 1, 26 and 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That means over creeps too. So God created man in his own image. In his image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the living thing that moves on earth. God, the second thing, God created man in his image. The second thing he gave him was dominion. But he gave his spirit dominion. His body was a servant. His soul was a servant. So man's spirit had dominion. And then Adam fell, lost the dominion. That's how we see the state that the world is in today. But Jesus brought that dominion back through his power, through the resurrection power, and says, now I've given you dominion back in my name. Stay in me, walk in me, live in me, live and move and have your being in me. Yield yourself to me, and you'll walk in a place of dominion that you couldn't do in your natural. That's why you've got to abide in the vine, because if you abide in the vine, it'll flow into the branch, and you'll produce fruit. Abiding in Jesus. Abiding in the word, like the word of God abiding in you, dwelling in, richly in your spirit man. So this rulership was to be a function of the man's spirit. It is not the function of his solical parts. Man was intended to commune with his maker by his spirit and to rule the earth through his spirit. We must grasp this vital truth because we do not get this point. If we do not get this point, we will never understand that. We will never understand what the unregenerated man is today. We will have no comprehension of why he is what he is if we do not realize that God created man to live by his spirit and not by his solical parts. For example, it was man's solical being which created and made the Tower of Babel after the flood. This tower, which man conceived in his own mind, was to be his own deliverance. He was trying to tell God, send a flood if you like. We will climb up our tower and you will never be able to get us. Man was trying to be his own God. And in fact, even God says in the scripture, it said nothing was going to be held back to them because they were coming as one, but they were in these imaginations to do all these great and crazy things. He was trying to be his own God without God. Tower of Babel, you know, that's where God confused all the languages. And they went all around the world. They couldn't even talk to each other. Imagine talking to somebody, all of a sudden they start, what happened? Can't understand the word. God brought confusion in the languages because of the wickedness of their imaginations. Humanist, right? They were going to be their own gods. They were going to climb up, this tower into the heavenly realm. Genesis 11, 1 and 4 says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east and that they found in the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come and let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And the bricks they for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. On the other hand, it was man's spirit, not his soul. But Noah built the ark, the project, deliverance through the world, not through the reasoning realm, trying to exalt himself as God. He was yielding to the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God could come upon him. And he was yielding to the Spirit of God to build the kingdom of God, to bring deliverance to mankind, where man was trying to be his own God. But Noah was yielding to God. But these guys was trying to be God and build the Tower of Babel, and God confused their tongues and split them all across the world. Humanist, right? In fact, it's funny because when I was in Brisbane, I was sitting looking around in Brisbane. I'm looking at, you don't see these things in Whakatane. You don't see two-story buildings. There's not even a set of traffic lights there, right, where I live. It's been like that for 20 years. When I was in Brisbane, I was looking at the buildings all around about, and you see that always somebody wants to build a higher building. You notice that? You know, all these big towers and all these big corporate organizations, whatever, see, humanist, you know, and corporate, they want to be at the top, right? The intellectuals, they want to be the top. We are bigger and better than anybody else. Without God, we are bigger and better than nobody. We need God in every single area of our life, in our marriages, in our churches, in our businesses, in our work. We need God in every area. And that's why we have to yield to God and be humble. Those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt them. See? God will exalt them in due season. They were trying to exalt themselves. Those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, God will exalt them in due season. Having a humble spirit before God. And it doesn't mean, as you know, and I'm not talking about the humbleness like that, oh, woe is me, I'm just an old worm saved by grace, and you know, think that's not humbleness, that's stupidity. Right? I'm not talking about that humbleness. Humbleness is actually agreeing with God and worshiping God and thanking God that He has made you the way that He's made you, that He's made you a new creation. I so thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice of the cross, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed because you redeemed me. I thank you, Jesus. My marriage is so blessed because you bless my marriage. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich in all areas of my life and brings no sorrow with it. There is no sorrow comes into my marriage and into my life because the blessing of the Lord brings no sorrow. God blesses us and brings no sorrow. Get that straight. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich in all areas of your life and bring no sorrow with it. I didn't say that you'll be rich and you'll be blessed. The scripture doesn't say that. That the blessing of the Lord will make you rich in all areas of your life and brings no sorrow with it. Because there's many rich people out there, but you think of the sorrow within their lives. Right? But when God makes you rich in all areas of life, He doesn't bring sorrow with it. Why? Because the humble heart, He exalts in due season. The humble heart, those who recognize that finances come from Him, knowing the blessing comes from Him, knowing the grace comes from Him, knowing the Word comes from Him, knowing the Spirit comes from Him. What can we do without Him? Oh, we can do things in the world, and you might even look like you're prospering, but the amount of sorrow that comes with it is overwhelming in the grief, and when things kick in. But God brings grace and beauty into our life like nothing else. And we're just about finished. On the other hand, let's jump down a bit. God is not against building, but He is against building in the solical parts, which has to do with your mind without God. When we build on spiritual things, it has to do with doing things from God's point of view. Summary. The body was fashioned from the dust of the earth and can only contact one dimension, which is the physical realm. Through the physical man, information is relayed to the brain from the five senses, which are the voice of the body. The five senses, the voice of the body, right? The five senses. In other words, you see something and all of a sudden it starts communicating. You know, if you look at if I say cat, right? Some could be sitting here thinking white cat, Persian cat, black cat, right? But if you actually saw the cat, it gives you a picture, it gives you information. And it gives information to your brain. Five physical senses. That's how we get information. And we start to process that stuff. So that's the voice of the body. But the body is subject, or the body is subject or servant to the new creation, or should be. Amen. We'll close there.